Somebody would probably say to me, well, be sure you turn the lights off when you get done, because the rest of us will be downstairs. No. The year was 1519, and Spanish explorer Hernando Cortez arrived in the New World. He and his men had come seeking adventure and opportunity to claim a new land for Spain, to explore it, to discover its riches. Cortez knew that the days and months ahead were going to be difficult and dangerous times, and he understood there were going to be times when their commitment might waver, when they might begin to think about home and the things that were going on in the land they had left behind. He knew his men needed a symbol of their commitment and their resolve to fulfill their mission. And that's why when the men had disembarked and all of their supplies had been unloaded onto the beach, he gathered them together on the shore and gave a simple command. He said, burn the ships. Burn the ships. It was a no turning back commitment. Pay whatever price you have to pay. We may live here, we may die here. Burn the ships. Today is Memorial Day, or tomorrow is Memorial Day. We've already been reminded of the power of the crosses, the symbols of the cemeteries, such as Arlington, where American soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen rest after giving their lives in nation service. And I am grateful that every year America sets aside a day to remember exactly that there are those who have paid an ultimate price. We need holidays and memorials and monuments that ensure that we never forget those who paid that price. It can be too easy to forget, you know, as years go by. The impact of the sacrifices that were made can fade away. We forget the price that has been paid. And so we need reminders of all that has been done for us. Which is why when you walk around the National Mall in Washington, D.C., you see so many monuments to so many people from so many times across the course of the 250-year history of the United States of America, reminding us again and again and again that a price has been paid. We need to remember. We need memorials. Last Sunday, we looked at the third chapter of Joshua. It told us how God held back the Jordan River so that his people could enter the promised land. They learned a very critical lesson. They learned, always follow the Lord. Let him lead the way. Let him reveal his will. Let him show you where to go and what to do. It is a lesson that we all need to learn. But today, I want you to join me. We're going to be on the other side of the Jordan River. Now God has opened up the river. He has made a way. His people have crossed into that place that God has promised them for generations would be part of their heritage. They were coming out of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And now God had allowed them to cross the Jordan River. He'd given them that dry path that led into the promised land. Now the time had come to begin to follow God's guidance. Now the time of conquest had begun. Now the time when they were going to have to claim what God was giving to them. They could not sit back and watch. They had to give all in order to receive what God had promised. First, the Lord instructed Joshua and his people to do something very special. Before the conquest ever began, there was something he wanted them to do beyond what they had done in obediently watching as God held back the Jordan, beyond walking over the dry land that he had created. Now, on the other side, God told them to do something very special indeed. This is what he said. He said, I want you to have one man from each tribe of Israel to pick up a large stone and carry it out of the Jordan River and onto the other side. Tonight, when you get to Gilgal and you spend your first night in the promised land, I want you to stack those stones together and create a memorial, a monument to remember what God has done. It would remind them of the power and the faithfulness of the one who brought them here. It would remind them in those times when they began to be uncertain of what God had done and how they could continue to trust Him. If they ever began to doubt the Lord or started to lose their nerve and be tempted to turn back, they would see those stones and remember, God is faithful. God is always faithful. And this morning, as we stand on the verge of Memorial Day, I want to remind you of some very important lessons that God's people learned there in the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua about the power of memorials in our lives. The first thing the Bible tells us is this: memorials remind us of what God has done. Memorials remind us of our encounters with Him. Wherever they saw those stones stacked together, that monument that had been created from the very first day, they knew this is a sign. God is faithful. There was a time when God called us out of Egypt. There was a time when God led us through the wilderness. There were those times when God provided for us. And when the time was right, God opened the door and allowed us to enter this land that we're about to claim. Memorials remind us of our encounters with Him. They provide us with assurance of His presence. The God who has been with you will be with you. They are a source of hope in our lives. Memorials challenge us to burn our own ships and follow the Lord. Now, I don't know anybody in this room that has a stack of stones in your backyard. Oh, you may have done it for some decorative purpose. There may be a wall that you've built. There may be some kind of fountain that you have. But I doubt if anybody has said, this is my monument to the faithfulness of God. But we all have monuments that renew our faith. Your monument may be memories. Memories of those times when I really needed the Lord and He was there. He showed up in ways I never could have expected and took care of me. There may be significant places in your life. And when you go there and when you find yourself in that place, you remember what God did for you. It may be your old homestead. Years ago, my niece had pictures made for myself and all of my siblings of the house we grew up in, the house that was destroyed by the tornadoes back in 2011. And she had a picture made of the house we grew up, a picture drawn of the house we grew up in. And at the bottom, you know what it says? It says, the house that built us. Well, I understand that. Don't you? And there are probably times in your life when maybe you go back to that old homestead, that place that's been part of your family for generations, that place where you encountered God. Or maybe it's a retreat center or a youth camp or something where God spoke to you in powerful ways. It is a memorial in your life. And there may be something physical that every time you see it or touch it or hold it, it just reminds you of what God has done for you. I have a collection of coffee mugs on the bookshelves in my office. If you ever go in there, that's what you'll see. But they're special kinds of coffee mugs because they're mugs that I bought in all the places that I have been and all the opportunities I've been given. And sometimes I look at those mugs and I think about all of the times and all of the ways God's opened doors that I never could have imagined when I was a little boy growing up in a blue-collar home thinking that Birmingham was all there was in the world. I've had the opportunity to share Christ in Peru, in Spain, in Mexico, in Chile, and the Ukraine. I visited the Holy Land more than once, getting ready to lead a group that's going to Greece in just a few weeks, and we're going to trace the footsteps of Paul. When I look at those physical reminders, it just reminds me, God can work through you, not because of who you are, but because of who He is. And He can do things far beyond anything you could ever ask or imagine. They are memorials in our life, and I know I'm not an exception. I'm just an example of how God's worked in all of our lives, because you have your own personal memories, physical reminders when God stepped in and did things that were unexpected and beyond anything you could have anticipated. And all you can do is look around and say to yourself, only the Lord. Only the Lord. They are monuments to the faithfulness of God. Memorials also provide us with a center of certainty. I love what Joshua told his people when the monument had been erected. In fact, this is our power passage for today. This is what he said. He said, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Did you hear that? What a memorial. What a monument. That all the peoples of the earth may know the Lord your God, the hand of God, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. I think about that because I think every time one of their people passed by Gilgal, and when they carried their children and their grandchildren carried their grandchildren, and they would ask, so what is this all about? Why did we stop in this place? Why are there tears in your eyes? Why do you look so thoughtful? Then you tell them, because this is a monument to the power and the faithfulness and the love and the grace of God. And the only reason we live here, the only reason we enjoy this abundance, is because of the Lord. And no other reason. The stack of stones from the Jordan River gave them certainty. God is faithful. And we need those places of certainty in our lives, don't we? We need places and experiences in our lives that remind us of the trustworthiness of God. We need to know He will never abandon you. He will never fail in what He has promised. Whatever God promises to do, God will do. Most of us can look back on situations that let them know God was personally involved. This is because the Lord knows. I say these are those times when the Lord will say to you in an unmistakable way, I know who you are, I know where you are, I know what's going on in your life, and I am here. And you know it in such a powerful way that you can't deny. This is because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has stepped into my life, and He is taking care of me. We need testimonies that begin with, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. This morning, if I were not so encouraged to be sure we get done fairly quickly, I could say, so why don't we share some stories? And I could ask, so who wants to stand and say, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me? And it might be a few minutes before the first person got up, because after all, this is the sanctuary. You don't really stand and talk in the sanctuary. But eventually, somebody would get up and say, let me tell you about what the Lord has done for me. And they would tell you about a situation when they were on their last hope and God came through. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. And then somebody else would stand up and they would say, you know, I didn't know where I was going to turn. I was down to my last dollar. Been there. And God came through and He was faithful. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. And let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. And let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. And before long, we might have a room full of folks giving testimony to the faithfulness of God. Because let me tell you something. The Lord has done so many things in my life and in yours. Some of these men who stood before us, some of you others who have served as veterans, would say, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. If He had not been there, I would not be here today. If He had not stepped in when I needed Him the most and protected me and preserved me and cared for me, I would not be here. When I needed direction, when I needed hope, when I needed courage, the Lord was there. And there's assurance in knowing that anything He has done before, He can do again. And that's what that monument was all about. It was about anything God did for us, God will continue to do in and through us. You see, memorials provide strength for future struggles. Remember what Joshua said? When your children ask. Let me tell you something that's important about monuments. Monuments are always future facing. They are always about tomorrow. Sometimes we look at monuments and we think, well, that's a remembrance of something that happened a long time ago. Maybe that happened during the Vietnam War. Maybe that happened during World War II. Maybe that happened during the Revolutionary War. Maybe it happened a long time ago. But in its purest sense, those are not about yesterday. Those are about if He was faithful then, He'll be faithful tomorrow. They are future facing. He will never leave you alone. We remember the courage of those who have been, and it calls forth the strength for who we can be. And we need memorials because there will always be future struggles to face. You know, when the last generation existed that did not face any great challenges across the course of their time? Never. Every generation faces its own challenges. Every generation faces its own obstacles. Every generation faces its own struggles. And let me tell you something, young folks, and you're not going to be an exception to the rule. You're going to face your own challenges. And they're going to be tough, and sometimes they're going to push you to the brink. So be ready. And the example of folks who have gone before you is going to give you the strength and the vision to move this nation forward. That's exciting. It's going to be tough. It's going to be good. Hang in there. Be strong. We need memorials because those are the things that give us strength. And if you're wise, you don't expect a life in which everything's going to fall in place. In fact, as time goes by, you look back over your own times of struggle, and you often do that with gratitude. You know what I mean? It was really hard when I was going through it. But as time goes by, I'm so grateful. I had to rise to the challenge. I didn't know I had that kind of strength in me. I didn't know I had that kind of resolve. I did not know I had that kind of faith. I did not know, and I would never have known if I had not been pushed hard. And you look back and you're grateful for the things that you had to face because they prepared you for what is yet to come. No wonder God's constant challenge to Joshua was, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous. Because God has a great future planned for His people. And then the Lord led Joshua to do one more critical thing. Listen to what Joshua 4:9 says. It says, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. The stones in Gilgal, were not the only monuments that were erected that day. God led Joshua to erect another monument in the middle of the dry riverbed. He said, Joshua, you take these 12 stones and you place them in the middle of the Jordan, where the priest had stood. And the time would come when the waters would be allowed to return. And even when they were there, and the memorials were covered by water, even though nobody else knew they were there, Joshua knew. Joshua, I want you to erect a monument of worship and gratitude to me. Nothing's ever going to make them fall. They're there till today. And nobody else is ever going to know. But you'll know. What makes that kind of monument so important? It reminds us that the deepest memorials are not the ones that are obvious for others to see. Instead, they're the experiences with Christ that are hidden deep in your soul. What's the most important monument of all? It's the one that's here. And it's very personal. It's very private. Because it's the deepest kind of monument. It's the richest sort of memorial. It's the one God put there. Experiences with Christ that are private memories of what the Lord has done for you, and few, if any, know anything about it. Those are the memorials that matter the most, because they touch you in the deepest part of who you are. A few weeks ago, I was back in my office. The deacons had gathered. We were getting ready to pray and greet people, and I listened in as Tom and George talked to one another about their first visit to the Vietnam War. If you've ever been to that memorial, you know it's a very moving, very sacred kind of place. I've been there, but this is what I understood. Not nearly as moving to me as it was to them. Because I was never there. I don't know those names the way they know those names. It stirred memories inside of them that the rest of us can never share if we were not part of that generation. The same thing is true in your own spiritual life. It is the deepest memories and the strongest memorials that come from your relationship with Christ that will help you stand strong whatever may come your way. It's a reminder that the richest faith is not found on the outside, but on the inside. Because that's where God does His most important work. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's the day we remember the honored dead. But it's also a day when we can stop and remember the faithfulness of God. Today, you can look back on your own life and say, you know, I remember when God was faithful to me. I remember when He called my name and I trusted Him and He became my Savior. I remember that time when I was in crisis and God came through. I remember when I was filled with doubt and confusion, and He came and He settled the storms in my soul. I remember what Christ has done for me. Maybe you're here today, and the honest truth is, you have to admit, I can't remember because I don't know Jesus. Not as my Savior, not as my personal Savior. I know all about Him. I believe that truth. It's just not personal. but it can be today. If you're here today and you're not a believer, in just a minute we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn, and I'm going to be right here, and you just come to me and say, today I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I'll be glad to introduce you to Him. Or maybe God's calling you to be part of this fellowship, because this is a place He wants to be, a monument of faith in your life. Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. As God speaks, you come. Let's stand together. A great day to worship together, a very special service that we've shared. Let me remind you now, immediately after the service, downstairs in the fellowship hall, we're going to have a wonderful time. Our men have grilled some chicken, and it looks just as good as it always does. We've got plenty of food. You may be here today as a visitor, and you just happened to walk in, and you thought, I think I'll just try First Baptist. Boy, is today your lucky day, because we want you to join us and be down there with you. Not only will you get a great meal, I can promise you this, and you'll get a great welcome from a loving church family. And we want to enjoy that. So everybody, make your plans to be downstairs. I'm going to say the blessing in just a moment, so you can go downstairs, you can line up and get your meal and begin to enjoy that time together. So let's pray together, and then we'll have one last song before we dismiss. Father, we do thank you for all the ways that you take care of us. Father, we remember your faithfulness in our lives. And Father, we thank you that you have always been trustworthy. And because of that, we know you always will be. And we thank you, Father, for the chance we have to remember how important memorials are in our lives. And Father, we do thank you for the meal that we're about to share together. We thank you, Lord, for those who have worked so hard, for those who have brought and provided food, we ask you to bless it. And more than that, to bless our fellowship. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.